Guten Abend, willkommen in Deutschland. Mein Name ist Mike Kau and this is the Kau Daily. Over to meine Freunde, Alice Wolf. Wolf.
How are you doing, man?
Fucking better than I was this afternoon. Have you read anything that I've, like, I know you've been mad busy and it's been the heat wave. Have you read anything that I wrote today?
I've kind of skim read it. So I've kind of gone through all of it in very small detail. I saw some shockers as we're there, but like, yeah, isn't it typical? Like, we've kind of been mentioning that on this show for I don't know how long now, and it ends up being dropped on us about 3 hours before we go on.
I hate them. And this has meant that I'm still processing videos now to play us out at the end of the show. So we've got the ability to still do 60 minutes, but not sit and die in a heat wave. Also, it's hot as hell in your house, isn't it? Like, absolutely. Yeah. How hot is it where you are?
I don't know what it is at the minute. It was 31 the last time I looked. But it feels like it's got warmer in this particular mm-hmm. room since then. Aye. So yeah, hence why I've had me hair bands in the freezer. I've had like literally what I've got on, the little I've got on now was like soaked in cold water before I've come on. So I'm actually soaking wet at the minute. So just trying to keep cool. I'm like sat here on a live stream in a wet t-shirt and knee pants because
is it the first time you've done that? You got any webcam experience?
It's the first time on the live stream.
No, I usually record my grot and send it out to OnlyFans. But yeah, listen, in all seriousness, feel free to tap out at any time because this is some extreme ass shit, but we just decided to fuck it, we'll do it. So we will. But if you need to tap out at any time, because I know what Zeb's epilepsy's like with the heat waves and heat and change in temperature. So I know you have epilepsy too. So if that's you, tap out. Just go, I'm done. And I'll just carry on if I can. I mean, we've got aircon in this place. As I said, I'm in Germany. There's a video later to play out of when I was in the woods earlier, and it was the spookiest shit ever. So I thought, fuck it, let's do that. So this week, Ford Report, as you mentioned, Ford Report dropped about 3 hours ago. I read it and then like a whole like host of emotions come pouring out of us, and I just sat there fucking weeping. Just like absolutely fucking hate these cunts, and I'm not even going to pull any punches tonight. I honestly thought I shouldn't do this tonight because all of the graft that a lot of were put in back then, in 2017. I mean, obviously I'd already done me discs in like doing fucking crazy ultra events and hiking and cycling and shit. But it was sitting there for 16 hours a day with a laptop on there, phone here and a phone here, trying me very best to ensure that, or at least play my part in ensuring that like there was at least some hope for people living in poverty. Turns out, as we're about to go into, because I think we should just go straight into the Ford Report and eviscerate these fucking cunts. Turns out that they were working against that, and people within the party and the Labour leaks report that a lot of us saw a couple of years ago. Turns out that it's pretty much true. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, we can get into like the report itself. I pulled some bits out, but it's 168 pages long. I'm going to read through this tomorrow probably, and try and pull some other shit out. But I've just pulled out some of the best bits, and obviously, some people have already done that anyway. So let's launch straight into that. After that, we're going to do climate change, and basically fires and all kinds of mad shit. Yeah. And probably deluged by all the boomers. But we've got some comments, so let's see who's in. Joanne's in. Good evening from Hades. Indeed. Steve's saying it's canny hot like, but that may just be the depths of hell opening up for the Labour staffers that screwed us over. Hopefully, Steve, I hope at the very least the next shite is a hedgehog and it's on fire. But it's dead first, of course, because we love hedgehogs. Robert Grady's in the house. Still get uber upset at the thought of what should have been. Totally, mate. Hence all the weeping today and everything that's happened since. I hope... I don't like wishing people ill, but fuck them. I hope their next shite is a fucking one of them spiky balls used to get in the medieval times. Anyway, back to this. Ford Report. Jeez, man. Right, starting off with this. Breaking news. This is how The Independent reported it today. Some of it, at least. Anti-Corbyn Labour officials covertly divided election cash to allies. Inquiry finds. Alice, do you want to give me your first reactions to this madness, please?
Yeah, that little bit there is, that's one of the bits I didn't know would be coming out and one of the things that I wasn't aware of. So I'm kind of like still trying to digest that bit.
No worries, man.
Everything else in there was stuff that, to be honest, I'd kind of processed a long time ago. I never, when all of this was first alleged, things suddenly made sense with it, as to what had happened in the election, because I didn't really get it at first. So, and then all of this came out and it was like, actually that all adds up. Also, I mean, there was some WhatsApp messages which were, you know, kind of there clear as day. There was no kind of there was no kind of room for debate, you know, kind of what was going on in some of them. Yeah. So we've waited for this report for like fucking years, where like 95% of it is confirming what we already knew. There are some, from what I've got, I say I only skim read through it because it came through kind of 3 hours before we started the show. But yeah, so this about them diverting funds, I'm stunned, to be honest. It was like, and I knew they went to some like pretty low depths, but then again, it kind of, it all makes sense. I think for me, it's just the lack of, well, there's lots of things, but to start with, just the lack of disrespect for the people who joined the Labour Party, you know, kind of was a mass sign up for membership. And it was that kind of that kind of polarization, isn't it? That kind of, you know, they were the Corbynites and stuff, you know, there was just kind of like no nuance. And there's what you kind of get throughout the entire report, from what I've said, is, you know, very much the two camps kind of thing. And there's, you know, there's people on both sides at play for that, but there's one side who are actively working to make Labour lose the election. And I think that's, again, that's what I find so shocking. It's like, you know, obviously you can expect smears off the Tories, you know, even off kind of other parties and things like that, because they want, you know, they want their team to win. But actually, that's what was going on here. It was like the most of the smearing, the sabotage, was done from inside the Labour Party. And they used funds to, you know, kind of, which was, you know, people's dues for membership who joined because they wanted a Corbyn-led government. Their funds to do that. And bragged about it on some of the WhatsApp messages, from what I saw.
No, they did.
Yeah.
Fucking arseholes. So this is a good bit of analysis from the Daily Politic, like first take stuff. So it reads, another snippet from the Ford Report. Staffers on the right of the party, with the support of the then Labour General Secretary Ian McNichol, who is now Lord McNichol somehow. I wonder how that happened. Diverted party funds from campaigns and marginal seats to safe seats for right-wing Labour MPs. The report confirms this. Why else was this done but to prevent Labour winning these marginal seats? McNichol features regularly in the Labour Leaks document, posting messages in which he hopes for Labour to lose the election and is dismayed by how well Labour did at the 2017 general election. The report concludes that the diversion of funds was wrong, but claims it's highly unlikely that this caused Labour to lose the 2017 general election. We disagree, says the Daily Politic. Labour needed just 2,227 votes across a few marginal seats to take government in 2017. Of course, diverting campaign funds from those marginal seats to safe seats contributed to Labour not winning those marginal seats. I agree. And why? Logic. If it's already confirmed that you're diverting funds from marginal seats, and I've got more on this later from the report itself, by the way, diverting from marginal seats to right-wing talk, I think it was like the Tom Watsons and people like that, if I remember rightly, from the Labour Leaks report. smarmy fucking piece of shit that he is. Fuck, like, trying to be polite or respectful tonight. Eviscerate these fucking arseholes. It's not about politics or sixth form briefcase wanker games. What it's about is people's lives. People who have lived in poverty and have had no hope for any kind of, like, realistic or rash or any kind of change which will benefit them, opportunities for them to progress in their life before they hit a ceiling, or they're judged on their fucking postcode, or they're judged on how they speak. That was all going to come to a fucking end. And these fucking arseholes have done this. I will never, ever, ever forgive them, ever. And to talk of unity, there can be no fucking unity, because I'm telling you now, there can be no peace without fucking war, and we want fucking revenge. Fuck politics. We want revenge. This is a fucking disgrace. You and I, we only got involved in this fucking party political nonsense, right? Because it was definitely a tactic which might just work. So we put our fucking heart and soul into it. We're not fucking, like, we know what this is all about. Like, ultimately, I think we all knew that they, meaning the establishment, were never, ever going to let this happen, ever. It was never going to be allowed to happen. And it demonstrates the absolute fiction that is democracy in the United Kingdom. It is a fucking myth. If it's not from, like, out with the Labour Party, like, in the smear campaigns and whatever, it's these fucking arseholes, Labour staffers, who fucking threw an election. 2,227 fucking votes away, spread over, I think it was six marginal constituencies, which would have seen a hung parliament and Corbyn installed as prime minister. Facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That cannot be refuted. And I'm already seeing the fucking establishment stenographers like Pippa Creera from the Mirror and others fucking trying to spin this. Like, oh, it totally exonerates the Labour right. Where does it fucking exonerate them, you bell ends? And then you got anything you want to write about, like, people being in poverty? I've noticed all these fucking arseholes in The Guardian have been writing things decrying the Tories' record on poverty since it's now safe to do so, the fucking liberal arseholes. Allergic to council estate fucking cunts. Fuck every single one of you. Anyway, you got any thoughts on that there, Alice?
Fuck them. Fuck them completely. I've, you know, in terms of people who say, you know, oh, you know, you have to kind of back Labour, and you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and that's the only way we're going to change things. Well, I'll just say that I was cynical before. I'm even more cynical now. I've tried it their way. If this isn't proof that we don't live in a democracy, that this system is not fit for purpose, that this is the thing, like, I mean, you know, Jeremy Corbyn, he's a nice bloke. And really, that's like my feelings on him. He's a nice bloke. I don't have this, like, burning love for him or anything like that. I don't think he was the last hope of the country or anything like that. I really don't. He doesn't even think that, actually, when you kind of...
Think any of this characterization of himself at all.
No, when you hear him speak, this whole thing of him, you know, kind of being, like, hero worshipped and stuff like that, it's, yeah, there's the, you know, I've seen elements of that. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. But it's not entirely true. I think some people would just wanted, you know, a slightly better manifesto. As I say, I'd vowed I would never... You know, certainly never join a political party, like a mainstream one. Mm-hmm. You know, vowed I would never ever do that. I did it a bit out of desperation, which I've talked about before, in terms of the situations my family members were in at the time. They were promising an immediate end to sanctions. So that was my reason for doing it. My only reason for joining the Labour Party was, I think I was unemployed at the time, actually. I think that was when I'd been made redundant. And so I joined because we knew that there was, you know, there was whispers that from inside the party that there was people who weren't happy with Jeremy Corbyn being the leader. Nobody really expected him to win. So I joined so that I could vote to keep him in, you know, and keep that going. So I did. And I never had high hopes. in terms of there being a radical change to the world that, you know, that I would like to see if Labour won, but thought at least there's a bit of breathing space.
Sorry about that. That bloody video just kicked in. Anyway, you can see that at the end.
Sorry, so yeah, there was at least going to be a bit of breathing space, you know, for people to and yeah, it's not like I was kind of feeling really idealistic or anything like that. And look what happened. It just all went like much, much worse than I ever thought was possible. And I was so angry at the time, but at the same time, not surprised. And, you know, saw people put their heart and soul into all of this. Now the Ford report has come out. It's kind of a bit like, you know, I've spent like the last however many years going, where's the Ford report? Now it's actually here. I will read it all properly, but I've just kind of gone, yeah.
That's why they've kicked it in the long grass, though, isn't it? Because we've moved on, and like, because you have to for your own mental health.
It's not even that, though. For me, it's like I've done that angry bit. It's like I'm now back in my hopeful stage. It's not that I don't care. I still do. I just don't expect anything better from them, and I never, ever will. You know, and in turn, I know we've seen a few comments there about, you know, about the what could have been and all the rest of it. And I get it. I really, really do. But I would say, you know, don't let that kind of like burn away and eat at you. I mean, I know, you know, obviously you've been involved in organizing before, you know, you have done for a lot of years, but I know people who had never been involved in stuff like that, who during that election, you know, they were going out canvassing, they were like talking to people, they were having conversations in their workplaces, in their communities, you know, with people they know, trying to, and You've just proven you don't need the Labour Party or any other political party that is just going to mug you off and take the piss out of you time and time again. People have shown they're actually very good at organising. People have shown that they're very, very good. Like, that's what we need. Just because, you know, the pack of cunts that you were campaigning for at the time really let you down, that doesn't mean that your standards have dropped in any way. Keep on organizing, just don't do it for them, you know, like they will come vote begging every time there's election, and the door needs to be firmly slammed in their face. We can organize better without them.
My nana would have chased the bastards down the street with a fucking brush if after this, just like she did to the Catholic priest who turned up to me like on the doorstep, and why is my dad not going Catholic school, because we pulled him out. That was legit what happened. If honestly, my granddad was one of the people who helped like build the Labour Party in the Northeast, you know. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if any, even a scintilla of this had happened when she was alive, the brush.
But that's what it was. It was ordinary working people, the same as what, you know, what we saw, you know, kind of during, you know, the miners' strikes and the, you know, some of the trade unions. It's all, you know, change only happens when it's ordinary working people organising and fighting for it. It wasn't the Labour Party. Yes, it was because of who was in them at that time. Now we've got career politicians, and that's all. And a smattering of people with a good enough heart and who are maybe naive enough to think that they can change things still. But nothing will ever, ever convince me that we can. This way we've seen it. Like, the amount of support there was at that time, there's no reason they shouldn't have won that election. There's not. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It never really has. Fuck the lot of them. Organise ourselves. All we have is each other.
I hope they suck a bag of dicks in hell soon. Fuck them all. They deserve no respect and they will get none. You can't have unity without truth and reconciliation, and they're already trying to spin it, releasing it on the fucking hottest day of the year as well. Meanwhile, as we'll find out later, the country's on fire, as is all of Europe. And it's like, we know what they're doing. And I've already seen, man, there was Paul Woff, he's called Wanker. Is a journalist. Unless he was given an advance copy, he hadn't read it. I got a copy off some, I'll tell you who after, because I'm not sure if it was embargoed or not at that point, but it's out by now, so it doesn't really matter. But I wouldn't play out a source, but very reliable source sent it to us when I asked. So hence why I got some bits. Anyway, let's pull up some other shit about what these fuckers have been up to. Right, so this is from the report, C227, if you wanted to cross-reference the report. And by the way, if I find out it's not embargoed, anybody who wants it, right, just get in touch via the email address or whichever method you want, and I'll just fucking send it to you, read it for yourself. So what it reads on the screen is, one temporary member of staff who was based in HQ at the time told us, of particular concern for me as I commenced work at Southside was the regular ringing of bells and cheering throughout the working day. On commenting that there seemed to be a lot of birthdays among colleagues, I was advised that the bell ringing was conducted by the compliance unit and represented the successful suspension or expulsion of a member, often surrounded by the description of such members as trots. A large number of staff across most teams were actively involved in trolling members, post holders and potential candidates' social media accounts, seeking evidence that might be used against them. Although it was unclear to me whether this was as volunteers or on a specific request from the compliance unit. Fucking compliance unit, bunch of fucking arseholes. What the fuck is that, man? Ding, that ding, ring weird. The bell.
Yeah, that is
fucking
weird.
Weirdos, man.
Behavior. That was one of the things at the time that really, really annoyed me, that it was that kind of language that was constantly being used, that anybody who was fucking slightly left of Ayn Rand was branded a trot. You know, it was just like what the fucking hell is it was, there was no kind of empathy or compassion. You know, the reasons why people joined the Labour Party, it was just like, are they just Corbyn groupies or they're trots? And that was it. It was so fucking dismissive. It's so juvenile as well, though. That's the thing, the kind of language they're using, the tactics they're using.
They're a cringe, man.
It's just total little fucking trust fund dickhead behaviour, really, that you kind of expect coming from, as you said before, like from a fucking, you know, a student union or a sixth form or something. And actually, no, that's really disrespectful to sixth formers. I'm sorry, sixth formers.
Like, apologies to all sixth formers everywhere.
Have their fucking head screwed on better than this pack of bastards.
Fucking word.
Yeah, no. Vile. It's vile is what it is.
They disgust me on a cellular level. I nearly couldn't do this tonight because I was scared I was going to say something that would get us into trouble. And I am doing it, and I am choosing my words and whatever. They are fucking cunts, disgusting scumbags, and it's not about politics. I don't give a fuck about all that fucking, oh, well, if we do this and do that, and then this will happen, and fucking fuck off. What it's about is people in communities struggling to eat, struggling to fucking, like, heat their houses. Obviously, at the minute, they haven't got a problem with that. They've got the other problem. But, like imagine somebody right now, right?
Yeah.
An old woman. She can't afford to put the fan on. So she's sitting there, and she's cooking in her house. That's going to happen. We're going to hear those stories, right? Those stories have happened in Portugal, in Spain, in France, all countries that I've been in recently. I'm currently in Germany. Happening here, too. It's fucking 38 degrees right now. And it's like fucking, like here, it's like 8:30 at night. Ridiculous. So these wankers stopped like somebody getting in who would have made now much easier and livable for people. People are going to die and probably have died throughout the pandemic because of the way that was handled, because of the way fucking somebody was allowed to get in. If that had been one in 2017, then what would have happened? Obviously, there would have been an even worse attack on a Labour government, but at least some of the things could have been written into fucking law, man. You know what I mean? At least we might have been able to get something, repeal the fucking, like, the laws against trade unions. That would have helped the Mick Lynches and everything now. Mm-hmm. So fuck respect. Fuck showing them any kind of respect ever. Fuck them all. Every single one of these bastards. Anyway, what's this here? So this is from the report also. What is clear from the evidence heard by the panel is that factionalism within the party has seen it fail the electorate and has undermined the UK's democratic process. Democracy is a fucking myth. How much clearer can that be?
How has it taken them this long to write this fucking report?
Because it's been kicked into the long grass by the Luke Akers and the fucking, like, whoever that fucking other cunties they brought in, that David fucking Wanksplat. Just basically, they've been doing, like, basically trying to get Starmer, like, tries they might established in the popular consciousness, so it doesn't really impact. Because you know what people are like? Everything's a football team to them. It's like, yeah, Team Starmer. I'm on Team Starmer now because this is the only route that we can possibly get some scraps from Longshanks' table now. Like, it's just fucking surf mentality. They talk like fucking Baldrick or something, you know what I mean? Like, where's your fucking, like, self-respect? Like, you really, like, how many times do people say, oh, you're just enabling the Tories? I've got all kinds of stuff that we had to cut from this fucking show today about, like, Wes Streeton being funded by John Armitage, right, who's fucking behind fucking Keir Starmer as well. And he admitted today on Radio 4 he's secretly funding Labour as well. They got linked to United Healthcare in America, who are sharpening their knives to cut up the NHS, right? And we're enabling the fucking Tories by pointing this out. Fuck off. Same energy as these Ford Report wankers. Kiss the tip of my fucking... Meow, meow. So, what's the next bit? Right, I'll read the panel there. Rather than confront the paramount need to deal with the profoundly serious issue of anti-Semitism in the party, both factions treat it as a factional weapon. Fucking thank you. Bit fucking late now, innit? Bit fucking late. Not so long ago, this would get you fucking launched off social media without any question. Now there's an official report saying, but the both sides did. It's like, here's the thing, right? The leader of the opposition is elected by the fucking members. The rest of you is playing silly games. Do what you're fucking told. It's your job. It's not your job to fucking, like, do all of this other next shit, you fucking bellends. Do your fucking job. Anyway, next, what we got? All right, so this is from a different section of the report. By the same token, it was unequivocally wrong for headquarters staff to pursue an alternative strategy covertly. In our view, headquarters staff should not have taken strategic decisions in their own hands and sought to conceal so they're doing so from the leader of the opposition and the campaign committee. No, honestly, really? We are absolutely clear that this should never have happened, and we consider that the anger amongst the membership regarding the issue is justified. Jesus, cheers, mate. Can we be angry now? Oh, is this natural feeling like that millions more people are thrust into poverty because that Bellen Johnson got in? Can we be justified and angry now, Mr. Ford? Thank you. Please, sir, can we have some more? Fuck off to you as well, cunt.
I mean, I don't know about other people, what they did, but, you know, because obviously a lot of people withdrew their memberships, myself included.
And me.
When all of this started to come out, it wasn't when Keir Starmer became leader. Again, I did this thing of, like, you know, listening to other people instead of listening to myself, and went, okay, let's give him a chance. Let's see how he does. But then this started coming out, and it was... there was no accountability whatsoever. They were like, "Oh no, no, we'll do a report," and you know, it was just like, "No, fuck that!" Like, you know, you've got enough evidence to take some action now, and they chose not to do. What they've been trying to do is brush it all under the carpet. So I wrote a letter to them. I referred to Tom Watson as like a deranged little quizzling. something like that. Anyway, the whole letter went on. I think they might know the membership are angry already. They were angry a really long time ago. And that isn't going to change, because I did notice the other thing that they are trying to do in the report as well is almost trying to make out like, oh, you know, most of these people who did all these bad things that we're saying were really bad, that they're not even there anymore. There's only one or two who is still.
Who got a fucking job at United, man?
No, that's bollocks. Like, there's no way this has not gone much deeper.
He's married to John Asquith, who's in the fucking shadow cabinet, by the way. They're all thick as fucking thieves. No, and you expect us to vote for this? Fuck off.
And yeah, there's not a chance. There's not a chance that people put a lot of time and energy into it, and they will still continue to do that, but never for the Labour Party. And we are seeing, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence. We're seeing a rise in memberships in trade unions and things like that. You know, more people got involved, not just you know, paying their dues and you know, getting the piece of paper or getting the union card, whatever, but learning how to be workplace organizers and you know, there's loads of stuff around that. I found out, actually it was quite nice because I found out the gala, that like membership of trade unions has started to, you know, started to shoot up, and a lot of younger people as well are doing that. And that is absolutely how it should be, because we have, you know, that's not candidates, you know, we have control over that. We can organize our own spaces and make those unions as to be, you know, as radical as we need them to be. And right now we do, you know, in terms when it comes to protecting the NHS and stuff like that, we do need them to be fucking radical, because as you said, it's, you know, you haven't got people fighting to sell the NHS and fighting to save it. You've got people fighting over which one of them's going to get the share of the biggest shares of the pie when they sell it off. And that is already happening. That isn't, you know, that isn't hearsay. Mm-hmm. It's already started. It started a long time ago. We're just not at the point where we're all handing over credit cards or insurance forms at the moment.
Yeah, true story. So let's take some comments before we do top this off. Steve's saying it's freely available on the Ford Inquiry website, very much public domain. Happy days. Jamie Ramsden, that is fucking mental. It all is, mate, you're right. Yes. Carl Hamilton's saying that Al Jazeera documentary about LFI should have been the end of it. If you haven't seen it, I think it's really available on YouTube. What else we got? But Bari B15, who would your choices be for the new Tory lead? Beelzebub.
I think that woman who hoed that cat in that bin a few years back, like, why not? Like, it's, you know, it's that, how much lower can you go, really?
True.
I'm really sorry if you were already going to bring this up, but when I say I skim read it as well, one of the things that stood out and really caught my eye, did you see everything about Diane Abbott? And what they'd written about her, what they've done
as well, where they surrounded her and all this shit, man.
Again, I already knew parts of that. That was stuff that had been kind of that had come out initially, but like the extent that was going on, and then they've obviously since been pulled about it and said, you know, like, what the fuck is this? You know, what are all these WhatsApp? Oh God, I'm so sorry. It was just, you know, I barely recognised myself from what I was saying. Like, shut the fuck
off, man. It's that bullshit, man. It's like that shit that people do where you clamp them to bit and they're just like, oh, mea culpa. Like anybody who says mea culpa on any level, which is such a non-apology, can fuck off as well. I've told many people to fuck off this evening, and rightly so. And I will continue to do so until forever. What else we got? Joanne G, democracy died. Indeed.
Was it ever really there? I mean, you know, I think we've seen, this is not the first time this has happened. There's absolutely no way. It's probably maybe the biggest scale that it's happened on.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, the whole, the bolshiness of it, the boldness of it, that to me, it was so blatant, and you know, like, you know, ringing the fucking bell and everything like that. That's just, to me, that's normal behavior in their world.
No, that's what I mean. It is in their world. It's normal.
They're kind of fucking stunned that they've been pulled on it. But yeah, it was probably, you know, done on a bigger scale. But this is how it's always been. There's never really been like significant changes of power in generations. If ever, like,
exactly, you
know, probably, you know, the biggest time was after the war, you know, but why was that? You know, yeah, people came back from war, you know, armed to the tits and knew how to fucking use them. Like, of course they were gonna maybe build some social housing and, you know, give them some healthcare. It's like, Jesus Christ, they've spent, you know, they've been like fighting literal Nazis. It's like, yeah, don't mess them up.
Now it's just like some kind of like sort of like absolute bell end fucking squadron who like are really gassed up on their own bullshit because they live in a bubble and they don't understand like how other people live that aren't them. And and I'll tell you what else, what comes through in all of this, it's the classism within a party who's meant to stand, well, which we all know it doesn't. It even says Democratic Socialist on the fucking membership, which is a, like card, which is a laugh. But they fucking hate us, man. Like they don't want people like us to be involved in any kind of politics or any kind of decision making. They think we're scum. Let's get it right. These people can only do this when they depersonalize us, our experiences, the lives of the people in our communities. It's about time, we as Jessica says here, we've got a self-respect revolution now. Simple as that. And I think that's the key to it. What we need to be focusing on as the working class is elevating each other up, lifting each other up. And also, not, it doesn't have to be solely focused around working class people. If there's genuine people from anywhere and they fucking understand and they want to understand, then we should be open to that too. I mean, but at the same time, the first thing we have to do is pick ourselves up and fucking stand on 2 feet, because we've got so much to be proud of for what we tried to do. You know, sometimes it's not about like the outcome. It's about what you do. And I know you can look at yourself in the mirror. I know I can, and I know loads of people fucking out there can as well. And that's to be respected. And I respect that completely. And I will never respect bastards who fucking remove like opportunity from people to actually have a better life. Absolutely disgusting. And they're called ham on, not gammon, but ham on, because like gammon's a little bit beneath them, but they act in the same fucking way. So from now on, they're called ham on, because they've got them ham on Ibericos on the fucking counter when they're writing for The Guardian and being interviewed. Oh, I just happen to have this £300 Fortnum and Mason's ham on here. Anyway, let's talk about the cost of living crisis. That actually happened, man. Fucking one of them for you, man. Sticking up your ass. John Laverick, utter cunt, to the point, as I expect from a fellow Heed fan. All the best, John. Get up. Anyway, we'll top this one off. There's one or two more here. Right, this one. I'll just flip back to this one. And some senior HQ staff had the ability to implement resourcing decisions covertly. A handful of staff in Ergon House created an additional fund for printing costs under code GEL001, spending some £135,000 of our money, by the way, the money we put in from like membership money in total on campaigns supportive of sitting largely anti-Corbyn MPs and not on campaigns for pro-Corbyn candidates and potentially Tory winnable seats, throwing the election. So I don't know how the Ford report comes to like alternative views. So I'll top this off. This was from back then, from Friday, 9th of June, 2017, Jeremy Corbyn was just 2,227 votes away from chance to be Prime Minister. Winning 7 Tory knife-edge seats could have put Labour leader in Downing Street, says The Independent.
The Independent aren't exactly known for their...
It's owned by fucking Lebedev, man. It's like, you know, the Lord for Siberia West.
You know, again, this is what we know, that, you know, we already knew what they were like, that this is the kind of thing that happens in politics. It's just happened on a massive scale now. And, you know, we kind of paid the price for it. But really, if we want to kind of radically change our communities, we, you know, anybody who was campaigning during that time, anybody who was organizing, you know, needs to kind of have a bit of confidence in themselves, that they know how to do that. They don't need the Labour Party to carry on doing that. In fact, they won't be held back by not being part of that. It's, you know, again, we're moving away from that. People are, you know, people are more disillusioned than ever. I think despite the polarisation that we are still seeing when talking about, you know, the mainstream parties and, you know, the kind of trigger words and the soundbite politics like wokeism and, you know, left and right, and, you know, even the Ford report does mention that about the, you know, left and right, that it's not always quite as simple as that. And that's maybe one of the few things that I kind of do agree with is you know, it's about people who, you know, careerists and, you know, people who are, you know, career politicians and people who are genuinely maybe trying to affect a bit of change.
Fucking word. Anyway, that's the end of the Ford Report section. Fuck every single one of them. I don't know if I've mentioned that, but I'm happy to clear the record and say fuck every single one of them. Anyway, climate change, the world's on fire. Shall we move on to that for a bit more of a light thing? I've got a video to start off that I've put together, and it just gives, like, sets the scene. Obviously, conscious of many people being at work, including yourself. Well, I've been working on this, so I thought a couple of minutes, give her a breather, rest her voice, have a drink, that kind of thing. Here it is. See you in a couple of minutes.
In Greater London residential area ablaze there. London Fire Brigade say they have 15 engines and 100 firefighters tackling this blaze, which is on the Green in Wennington, Greater London. The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, says the London Fire Brigade has just declared a major incident in response to a huge surge in fires across the capital today. This is critical. The London Fire Brigade is under immense pressure. Please be safe. I'm in touch with the Commissioner and will share updates when I have them. London Fire Brigade simultaneously fighting this fire in Wennington, Greater London, and also another blaze in Croydon today. There are around two dozen fires up and down the UK yesterday. There's also been another fire in Upminster in Essex today as well. Tinderbox conditions caused by temperatures exceeding 40 degrees Celsius. That unwanted record, UK record, broken at Heathrow earlier on today. It remains at 40.2 degrees Celsius. Could creep up, though, towards the end of today. We were keeping an eye on the official forecast for you. But this is the scene in Wennington. As I said, London Fire Brigade declaring a major incident in response to what is happening across London. The Mayor of London saying, don't have barbecues on grass or on balconies. Don't leave broken bottles or glass on the grass. It can start fires. Dispose of cigarettes safely and report a fire as soon as you see one. Do not take risks. Stay safe in the heat. What you're watching here is the consequences of not heeding that advice.
It's just a bit of weather, man. It's just a bit of weather. London's on fire. The motorway Dartford is on fire as vehicles go past. But it's just a bit of weather. What do you think of this?
Christ, that was... I'd heard there was fires. I didn't realise it was as bad as that. Fucking hell.
That's just in the south, man. I couldn't even, like... I would have been making a video all day and just playing it for the full hour. There's, like... The stuff, like, I mean, Birtley, Sunderland, Gateshead, Newcastle, there's been fires there. Like, put out lesser ones. One next to the stadium, a light, I think the Sunderland training ground. I think there's a few Moxies being getting out and about. You know, Moxie from over here, in Pet the Arsonist. there was actually the Uber Moxie in Portugal who was, like, finally caught up with, right? And he apparently had set fire, like, to 50 different things. But the thing is, it's not just all Moxies, right? It's also the fact that, like, it can hit Moxie. It can hit a bit of glass, right? Yo, I'm just going to make you laugh saying Moxie, Anna. Shouts the old videos in Pet Massive. I haven't got any darts, though. Remember when he turned up with a dartboard? I haven't got any darts, though. And then right in the minute, it's like, oh, fuck no. Anyway, back to the world dying. The levity of old videos in Pet. The country's on fire, but as you know, I've been, like, through Europe, but I'll explain on a different time what I'm actually up to. But there's a video later, blah, blah, blah. It's been, like, a day behind us. It's chasing us up the continent because we're eventually making our way back to England, as you know.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely, like, madness. We've had this, right, for about, well, got to be about a month, something like that. It destroys your body. Now, you remember that story that from the weekend about what happened to us that I kind of touched on?
I blocked this out of my brain, but it's about to come up again.
I haven't even given you the details, so strap yourself in. And the same goes for all yous out there. This is an intensely personal story. It's equal parts horrific, but I thought it was hilarious after the fact when I learned what had happened. Right. So I was in France. This was on Sunday. I was in the Jura Mountains, right? So hot as hell. But I was like, obviously get up in the morning, out for a walk and all of that, carry on as I do. You know, I'm trying to get fit and trying to get back my former glories and all that. And I'm doing well, like knocking out 10Ks, like now to the matter, right? I'm walking up the hill and it's the last sort of 3 kilometers. So I'm 3 kilometers from where we were staying, right?
Right.
I was sweating, obviously. So I put my hand, like I was thinking, that bloody well sweaty, behind. Put my hand on my arse, covered in blood, like a horror film. I was like, I haven't fell, I haven't cut myself. What's happened? So, right, this is what's happened. Due to the heat, right, and because I used to do like ultra marathons, long distance cycling, the capillaries in my arse were like near the surface because when I had my spinal surgery, I couldn't train anymore. So my arse went from what was like leather, like a lot of like road cyclists have, because you're sitting on effectively the dolphin's nose. And then it just goes kind of back to normal. And I'd already been for the camera up before I had in 2017, before my operation. It was like, fine, you haven't got cancer, anything like that. You've just been bleeding because the capillaries keep bursting. What's happened in the heat wave, and you can research this for yourself, that turned into a hemorrhoid that I didn't really know I had until a couple of days before. I was like a little bit of blood, and I was like, oh, it's that thing again with the capillaries. Here's what happens, right? The extreme heat over a long period of time made, as I was exerting myself and my heart rate was up, made it burst, right? So it burst and there was blood running down my leg, like not just a bit, loads. It was pumping out of my arse, right? So I didn't realize the full extent of it until I got back and I was at my partner. I was like, what the fuck's this? You seen this? So I went in the shower, right? Stripped off, shower head, not joking, about 10 minutes. Blood just flowing out of my arse, right? This is because of the heat, right? So what's happened is I then like thought, what's going on up there? And by this point I'm freaking out. Like I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It's apparently a consequence of like just heat exhaustion, and we've been in this for this whole time. So people who are like, that's a bit of weather, that's a couple of days, seriously, try, just give what we've had to experience a go, see how long you last. It'll fucking break you. So basically, put my fingers up my arse, right, as you do, you know. do you know what I pulled out? It had split. And I didn't know
what,
this.
What did you pull out? What the fuck?
A fucking, like, it was about that big, right? About 10 pence piece, round as well. And it was spongy and it was red. It was a blood clot. Seriously? I pulled a blood clot. Apparently inside hemorrhoids, you get blood clots. And it had got so big, and because all of me veins had opened up, it had exploded. My arse had exploded. So I was out walking, like borderline heat exhaustion, dehydration. My arse exploded. Mental. So I pull this thing out while I'm in the shower, and I went to my partner, shit, come in. What the fuck is that? And I mean, she's a physio, and she went, oh, it's a blood clot, like dead calm. And I'm like, what?
It's like you're running out the shower like fucking Gigi Allen, like
seriously covered in blood, man. Like I'm covered in blood. The shower basin is covered in blood. Not just a bit, the whole thing is blood. I'm standing in my own blood that's been streaming out my asshole, and I'm holding a blood clot in my hand. But it's just a bit of weather. It's just a bit of weather. That's all it is. A bit of weather. But anyway. So afterwards, like, I'd settled down, and like, I'm gonna just tell you the fucking full thing. It was emasculating as fuck, right? This isn't the full thing. This is the where we're getting to the funny bits, right? So I'm fucking like sitting there thinking, yeah, I'm dying. Brilliant. I'm now dying. I'm bleeding out from my arsehole in this heat wave in southern France, in the mountains, miles from a fucking hospital, by the way. And so anyway, like my partner givers, I can't even believe it. Fuck it, I'll say it out loud. You know, like an Always Ultra with the wings. I bring new meaning, right? So like, I just want to have a period, yeah, just to see what it's like this one time, so I can really empathize with you.
Like, body form for you.
Fucking proper Always Ultra. I was expecting Claire Rayner's ghost to pop out and go, "You fucked now, pal." Ah, body form. Fucking full on emasculation time, man. So, like, I had to, like, so obviously I went and researched it all, right? And I was like, this is really good. This is actually a good thing. Body form for you. Not that bit, but the bit I'm about to tell you. The reason being is, to get rid of something like that, you have to go and get like a surgery and they'll just cut it out and pull the blood clot out. Like, my body in the heat wave has fucking rejected this thing and it looked horrible. It was like an alien. It was like that, like this. And so anyway, I researched all this and I was like, oh, fucking mint. This is actually mint. I don't actually have to go and get it cut out. It's just fucking out now. And honestly, like after the first, like couple of days after, it was still bleeding. So I stopped putting the, I stopped having my period yesterday and I stopped putting the Always in. But here's the thing. We had to come to Germany because our schedule is what it is. And there was a break in the weather where it was only about 32 degrees instead of like hell, which is like still hell, but like you can drive in it and the car's not going to explode. The amount of, honestly, the amount of people we saw at the side of the roads on the way up to Germany, like just fucked, cars fucked, steaming. Because they had overheating, the amount of like bits of tire and things like that. So basically, the day after this happened, right? And I'm blessed that it didn't happen on the road trip day. I had to sit in the car with an Always Ultra on, a tea towel, because I'm still bleeding a bit out my arsehole. And we had to drive 500 kilometers. And a lot of the journey, I'm having to sit up like this and lift my arse up off the seat of the car. Welcome to climate change, everybody. So it's fine now, though.
That's good, because I am far too much of a visual person to have listened to that story twice. First time the short version, and then again now. I'm glad it stopped.
I'm glad you're better, but I really wish you hadn't told us that on camera.
Maybe we shouldn't talk for a little while.
That's a bastard. I was hoping you'd lend us some Always Ultra. Seriously, it was like a horror film. It was horrific. I'd like pulled out some alien that could have been eaten us alive. And that happened. That was a thing that happened in my life the other day. And I've been laughing me back off about my partner ever since, just because I was like Edvard Munch's The Scream, like with the blood. And it's like, seriously, it was frightening. But like, once I realized it was actually a good thing, and obviously when you're on the road, you don't want to be nipping into some mad road hospital going, yeah, do you want to just cut that out for us so I can actually exist in life and walk around without blood streaming down my leg? It had its fucking own pulse, man.
Oh, for fuck's sake, man.
So I developed a fucking hemorrhoid through this heat, and I didn't even know. So I've been putting these bum bullets up and all this carry on suppositories and that, and I'm good. It's all healed up nicely now, and it's on its way to being healed up nicely. No more blood as of this morning. Passing the poo like a champ, you know.
That's good
times.
Yeah, I'm pleased for you, mate. Like, nice.
Cheers, sister. I know I could rely on you. And if I ever need an Always Ultra, I know Hiss Hiss, Monkatron, whatever you call it, there's going to sort us out. You, maybe it's not so much. Maybe I'll use the swan as a sort of visual aid. It's white, it's red blood, you know, it's how it goes. There's quite a lot of comments, unsurprisingly. So let's see what
Let's take some of them while I'm just kind of dry retch onto the carpet, like.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see what absolute hell they've got for us here. this is like Giggsy, Guy Roberts here, and this is exactly what I've been saying. I'm the living embodiment, temporarily, of course, of a bumper clot. Proper bumper clot, isn't it? What a fucking belter, man. Get in. I mean, look, if you kind of laugh at these kind of things, laugh at yourself, what you're going to do, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to cry. Steve is saying, dude, no words. Lisa's coming with some emoji action there. Cheers, Lisa.
What else can you do?
Robert saying, I really shouldn't be laughing so hard. No, Robert, honestly, you should. Please do laugh, because that's why I'm telling it. We need a bit of levity in the world, don't we? And these things are like, it's one of the consequences of climate change, guys. Your arse is going to explode and your mates are going to get on your live stream and call you a fucking bumbleclaw.
I think Extinction Rebellion should be using this for the next campaign.
Well, they can if they want. I mean, I don't give a fucking monkey's like. I mean, these things happen. We all shit, we all piss and all of this. And anybody who tries to like claim the don't can just fuck off, basically. But this is one of the natural consequences of it. I've researched all this, and it is down to like heat waves. Just put like heat wave hemorrhoid into Google, and there you will find things don't want to read. But I had to, just to stop my heart rate from busting out my chest. Horrible. Yes, are you recovered yet, there, Alice?
No, but let's carry on.
Right. Jessica's saying, fucking hell, laughing at Gigi Allen, though, innit? I am the Gigi Allen of Tyneside.
Good.
proper Gigi Allen. So what else we got here? We have, Joanne saying 500 kilometres. Yeah, 500 kilometres in the car. It was absolutely, absolutely rotten. Literally and figuratively. Right, hold on a minute. Something's went on here. Bear with us.
Don't tell me it's your asshole again.
Yeah, it's exploded. I'm fully back on Bumbleclaw alleyway.
I don't want to see it on camera.
I'm not going to get my brown star out. It is brown again. Like, yeah, well, it's not like crimson or anything like that. All right. You can be sure of it.
Too over here. Just like it. I feel my stomach turn every time you say the word blood clot, and I've seen plenty of them in my life. But for some reason, I don't know if it's me being too visual or the heat or what, but it's making me feel like I'm literally gonna vom.
It was totally. I mean, I was like retching when it was happening, like fully thinking. I honestly thought I was like, right, this is how you die in a heat wave. You start bleeding out your ass and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I was
like,
I'm too beautiful to die now. Because why now? I've got to be alive for when the Ford report comes out.
I just need to live long enough for the Ford report.
I gotta see the Ford report, man. I gotta see it
days later.
I gotta have Jeremy exonerated, man. Oh my god! Honestly, this heat wave—it's like it's 2 seconds. It keeps messing with my screen. I don't like that at all. What I think we should do is right, just to play this out. Before I do, though, actually, somebody's saying, I'm speechless. Yes. Don't worry about it, my friend. I am paler J67.
I'm speechless. Yeah, I still have to try and think of something to say.
Well, you don't have to anymore, because obviously with the heat wave, and like, I've got a video that I prepared earlier today. I went walking in the woods, and obviously we're going to play it. It's about 8 minutes long, and it just means you can get off and get in the shower and just cool down, man. You know what I mean? So I've managed to get it uploaded, because you know it was just absolutely, again, the heat wave. The internet was fucked, but I've got it up there while we were talking. Anybody who says men can't multitask, I can talk about Always Ultra. I'm that diverse. I can talk about the thing that you don't want to hear, begins with a B, and I can upload videos that are too big usually while we're doing a live stream. That's what I can do as a man. So anyway, do you want to see this video of me walking in the woods? Bit of a palate cleanser. I promise you, I don't like start bleeding or anything. It's completely different.
Just play the fucking video.
All right, dude. Bye. See you later. I'll ring you later. Bye.
I'm in the forest, and I just wanted to thank people. I hit a big goal today, and the goal is weight loss. And just thanks to everybody for when I was going through utter hell in a cell last year, for just reaching out. It was all those little building blocks which led to what I've achieved now. I've lost 43 pounds, which I'm absolutely buzzing about. Not about numbers or weight or anything, just about health and mental health. But I wanted to show you some shit. Like, this forest, right, is absolutely spooky as hell. And look, Wild boars. I don't know if I've told this story, but I had an encounter with a wild boar in Portugal, which was scary as hell. But there's something about this forest. And I've learned that it used to be like some place where Germanic pagans back in the day would do some rituals. And I came up here with the dog yesterday, but it's the heat wave and he's knackered. And I just thought it was best to leave him in the house for safety, you know? Jesus Christ, there's something over there as well. I swear to God, right? It's spooky as fuck in here. Probably, but in for a penny, in for a pound. I knew this yesterday. And I just hope I don't get absolutely done to bits off the wild boar, like. But yeah, there's something like spooky about it. There's definitely something up in here. And it's a bit scary. Jesus, what the fuck is over there? I didn't like horror films, but I love hiking. Oh, it's a bird. Jesus Christ, I'm on edge. Or is it? What the fuck? What is that? Right, I'm going to fuck off. I better get my head screwed on. Anyway, see you in a bit. Cheers, everybody. Right, so I had to come back. And here's why. You want to know spooky? You want to know about the spooky? Look at this. Right. Wait, let's turn this corner. Seriously. This is absolute Spooksville, Tennessee. Basically, what I've just found out there is this is obviously, you know, it's part of the Catholic Church. But pagans, it used to be like a pagan ritual site. And obviously, as we know, the Catholic Church wasn't it, or the church in general, as it was once was never shy about co-opting things. Look at this altar. This altar, as you can see, has the leaves on it. And it's obviously a pagan symbol topped by the cross. And then there's this big ass cross here. And all of these bits of artwork, which are the procession of Christ. And then there's obviously a lectern there. It's proper, you can just imagine, Cardinal Ratzinger coming and murdering a motherfucker. on some proper David Icke shit. But seriously, imagine turning the corner and seeing this shit, man. After all that spooky wild boar shit before, honestly, absolutely. I might come back with another video in a minute, but I'm going to have to just calm down and breathe a bit. I'm alone in the woods in Germany, and what the fuck is that? Back again. Right, a couple of kilometres up the trail. I've took a deviation to something called Steinerer Gaul, and I'm getting the sense that it's probably something to do with paganism too. And I swear to God, I've had this a few times because people who don't know, I'm a qualified mountain leader, expedition leader, right? This is not my first rodeo. I've had this once or twice in certain places. This place is alive with energy. I can feel it. It's scary, but it's exhilarating. So let's see what this thing is. I don't know if you can see this yet. Holy fucking shit. Right, so there's the stuff up here. Look at all this. Right. Pagan site, anybody? Now look at this big bad lad here. Jeez, grease. By the time you're watching this tonight, I'll have worked out what this actually is. But I'm going to hazard a guess that there might have been some sacrifices here. Jesus, man, look at this. Look at this. And look at this, man. You can't get anywhere mRNA on this fucking thing. Animus et mRNA. I'm going to suggest that the anti-vaxxers have been up here for some reason. But look at this. Crazy. Like, this smack dab in the middle of the woods. I mean, I don't know if it's been launched here or whatever. But my God, it's that like classic pagan like sacrifice grove, isn't it? So there's some business here. Steinerer Gaul. Obviously, people know about the Gauls. Wow, this is an absolute mindfuck, this. And also, while I'm talking about this, the woods are alive with energy. I honestly feel like I'm being watched at all times. There's like
really weird noises, like you know, when you watch those mad Bigfoot programs, which I don't think it is, by the way. But honestly, the way that the energy is in this place, anything's possible. You might not even get to see this. It might turn up on some wild-ass Blair Witch-style documentary in the future. Not even kidding. Wouldn't surprise if motherfuckers jumped out in cloaks and shit. It's some wild shit, this. But I'm going to keep going. Here again. I'm on my way back now. I just thought I'd give you a bit of a closer look at all this. Think about how long something like this would last. Certainly in Gateshead, but in most of England. That would be scratched up, tagged, burnt to bits, absolutely killed. Look at it, man. Still pristine, still DRE. And then there's the wild-ass Spooksville back again. Honestly, I swear to God, this is the spookiest woods. I mean, maybe it's in the top two spookiest woods ever. But bloody hell. And it's not necessarily in a completely dark way. There's dark elements, you can feel it. I mean, I'm sounding like a right fucking Hipsworth here, but this is what I believe, so fuck yous. There's a dark element in how it feels, but it's not like the main thing. It's like, I don't know. Like, sometimes you find like nature and it's just alive. Like, I don't know, the fucking ley lines, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I'll tell you about the sort of wider thing about what I'm doing at the minute in the future, but sometimes mystery must be maintained. But this is crazy, man. This is such a beautiful place too. But yeah, I decided to head back. The trail up a few kilometers up there, started to head downhill. And top tip, kids, if you're walking in the heat and you've already done a bit uphill, it starts to go downhill, you're gonna have to walk back up it, and that's gonna stress your body in this heat. I feel like I could do a hell of a lot more, but in these type of conditions, things can pop in a second and then you're fucked, basically. I've got probably a quarter bottle of water left as well. So sometimes you gotta take a risk assessment and just fuck it off. Anyway, imagine the type of shit that's went on in here, not just the Catholic thing, but just over the years. Man. Weird. Anyway, much love and that. Bye-bye. Hello, everybody. I'm going to try and get me back. I'm back now. Hold on a minute. I'll put it on full screen. This week, I've mostly been bleeding out of my arsehole and walking in the woods and the mountains across Europe in searing heat. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll try and reduce the swearing next week, but if there's some disrespectful arseholes want to come and test, what are you going to do? Bye, everybody. Love you.